Well, if you'd like to read with us in the 26th chapter of Acts, Paul here is testifying about an event that happened 28 years before this, and this is according to the dating in my Bible, if it's accurate. This is like 2 years, or 4 years, I'm sorry, before Paul was put to death. Paul only ministered for something like 32 years from the time he was converted until he was beheaded for his stand for the Lord. And, you know, we can say that's not all that long a time, especially here, me standing here 60 years old. To remember back 32 years, they may have been a lot that's happened in that time, but when you go thinking of what was going on when you was 32 years younger, it don't seem like it was all that long ago. And Paul here in his life accomplished so much for that amount of time. And he suffered so much for the gospel. But I think Paul, I don't know exactly how old Paul was when he come to know the Lord, and how many years he had really been persecuting the church, but Paul had really give Christian people a hard way to go. And because of that, I think that was that much more that he felt like he deserved everything that come his way, all the persecution, because of how that he had treated Christian people. And Paul here, as he's testifying, he's remembering back to the day when he was converted. And, you know, you and I, it does us good in the times of trials and testing to take the devil back to the time when we prayed through. That's one thing that the devil, he can come at you and try and make you think that you're not living right because of some failing that you've had in your life. He can do all of that to the point where he can have you just about believing, yeah, I'm not a Christian. But if you take him back to the time when you got right with the Lord, that's something that he, if you really pray through, that's something he can't make you doubt. And if you take him back to there, you can chase him off, and it can bring back to your remembrance just how much it God done for you. And whatever failing you've got in life, God's still able to forgive you of that, and you overcome it. None of us is so perfect that we don't have to go back before the Lord and talk to him about the things that is in our life that's not pleasing unto him. It's a growing process. Paul said, I die daily. And if Paul had to go back before the Lord talking about how he failed God, between him and God, me and you are going to have to go back many times. And I don't care who we are. When we get to the point where we feel like we don't need to, the devil's got us right where he wants us. Each and every one of us, when the devil comes at us with temptations and trials, the best way to get rid of him is go on our knees before God. The devil sometimes will tell you the truth. When you fail, when he gets you to fail someone or another, he'll tell you the truth. What you've done is sin. You might as well quit. The thing you need to do is not quit. Recognize, yeah, I failed God. But the thing to straighten it out is get back on our knees and pray and talk to God. And forgiveness is there. I've never found a time when I went sincerely before God and repented that I didn't find forgiveness right there. And you and I today, it does us all good to get down and take inventory every little bit and find out just how that we stand with the Lord. All right, if you'd like to read with us, in the 26th chapter, the book of Acts, we'll start reading at the 13th verse. And as I said, this is Paul testifying here of an event that happened 28 years before. At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me. and them which journey with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Then if you drop down into the 24th verse, and as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. Now, here Paul was speaking unto a king, and in the first verse we read to you, that 13, he said, At midday, O king. Paul was pleased to present his case here before King Agrippa, because Paul knew that King Agrippa was aware of all that he was talking to him about. Paul knew every bit of it, and Paul was being persecuted by the very ones that Paul had went and traveled persecuting the church for. The very leaders of the church that Paul had been working for when he was persecuting the Christian was the ones that was seeking after Paul's life. And Paul here, as he come to the king, he told the king of the vision that he saw there as he was on the road to Damascus. And if you read on up before this 13 verse, Paul tells him what purpose he was going down that road. He was going to get the Christian people to bind them and take them back to Jerusalem. He was on a mission of the leaders of the church that was wanting to do away with them, that was worshiping Christ in spirit and in truth. And lo and behold, he should appear unto Paul, but the very one that he was persecuting the poor worshiper. Christ said, Paul, it's hard for you to kick against the prince. What that mean? That back in those days, they had sticks that were sharpened on one end, and they walked behind the cattle, and they put them, and the cattle knew better than to kick against them. Why? It would only hurt a word. You and I today, if they come to me, what the devil tell them, when we go kicking against the face of God, we're only hurting ourselves. There's no good can come of it. But oh, what a wonderful thing it is to bow before God and call upon it, ask Him for forgiveness. Paul realized that there on that road down there, and he knelt there in the presence of Christ. In Paul, you'll find no mention that he seen Christ in person when he was here upon the earth. But Paul testified, I seen him as one born out of due season. Why? Paul remembered what he seen there on that road. light above the brightness of the sun. He seen the Son of God in all His glory there. So much so that Paul for 3 days he couldn't see anything. And God sent a man unto him, another man of God, to go in and pray for Paul. And he was scared to do it because he knew the purpose that Paul was coming for. But old Paul had been praying. That's what God doing. He said, behold, he prayed. Each and every one of us, if we'll spend that time talking to the Lord, we will be a changed man as much as Paul was. You know, the thing that's so amazing, you know, the world cannot believe, even in this day and time, that God can make such a difference in a person's life. But look at Paul, traveling the road with an intent of persecution of the Christians. And Christ appeared unto him, spoke unto him, and Paul seen just what a wonderful Savior he was. Paul recognized how much that he needed him, just what kind of a sinner he was. Paul thought he was a good man. Paul, in all his persecution, in the way that he was abusing people, and he said, come to know God and see what Paul seen. You know, I have never seen Christ with my eyes, but I have felt the presence of God so strong that I have turned to look because I felt like it had to be visible. You and I today, God is just that real. And I found out in life, there are things that I have not seen that is more real than things that I have seen. I was at a farm show once, and it was, I never did figure out how it worked, but it was, you looked at this glass, and it looked like this pig was standing on it. And you could reach out and stick your hand right through it and there was nothing there. But down underneath this glass was a little tiny pig. And some way or another, through something that man had created, it was projecting that and standing on top of this way bigger than it was down there on the bottom. And you look at it and you think it was real till you stuck your hand through it. And you can fool man in all kinds of ways. Just like that, because they see something with their eyes. You can't fool when they feel the Spirit of God. That's something that's more real than what you can even see with your eye. Man can fool you with what your eyes see, but they can't fool you with what your heart feels. That Holy Spirit, that's something that's real. It's not man-made. It's not something that's just a magic.
They wanted any place that I wanted to be.
about today. That same thing that Paul was witnessing about here. And you know, don't you know, Paul was telling this. We read this here on the page, but don't you know Paul was getting excited telling this all over again. No telling how many times he had told it and witnessed it. And he was showing emotion. That's why Festus thought he was a little off in the head. Why, Paul? Much learning has made me mad. He just couldn't understand what it was that Paul was so excited about. Then Paul turns to the king and he says, I know what I'm telling you. It's not something that's a mystery unto you. King, I know that, in other words, I know you know about Christ. I know you heard about it. You heard all the stories about it. You know what that I've said about it. It's not something that's impossible. I know that you know me, say. And the old king said, almost thou persuadest me. You and I today, it don't do a bit of good. The said it say almost. But we need to be fully persuaded within our heart, mind, the very heart of our soul, that we want God more than anything else. When we come to that place, we're a fit subject for salvation. Why? We got to desire God. Want to know him enough to reach out and take hold of him. And Paul found out just how real God was. Agrippa was real close. Almost. But you don't find any place where he was fully persuaded. Almost persuaded. That's where we get that song by that name. Almost persuaded. But still lost. Almost. What a dreadful thing to be almost, but still lost. When we stand before God to realize, almost, I had it at my fingertips, and I just didn't take hold. I let it slip away. That's how close I was to living with God. But almost, there's going to be all kinds of people in hell for all of eternity. That was almost persuaded. Just like old King Agrippa, if there was a child or another in life, that he'd become fully persuaded. He will remember that testimony of Paul. He'll remember the words that he said, Paul. Almost thou persuadest me. He will remember that for all of eternity. Say, oh God, if only I had believed that, sir. But forever too late. You and I with a death angel call. It's too late then to pray. The day God has given us. Time for us to pray. You know, can you imagine what kind of feeling Paul must have been telling this with? And there before a king, to be that bold to speak, but he said, before whom also I speak freely. Paul was holding nothing back. Paul was one of them that wasn't ashamed of God. Why? God had done so much for him. You know, I've seen people that you meet them in Walmart or somewhere or another and you start talking to them about the Lord. And this is people that they're Christians, they're supposed to be. And you start talking to them about God and you see them get sort of uncomfortable look on their face and they start making excuse to, they got to move away. But now you can stand there for 30 minutes or an hour and talk to them about the weather, about your garden, about cattle, whatever, and they got time to stand and talk. But you start talking about the Lord, and they're afraid somebody will pass by and hear that, and it makes them uncomfortable. What's wrong? They don't have what they need to have in their heart. You know, if you have got something that you treasure, you're proud of, and it's something that is rare, not everybody has, You're not going to be ashamed to tell somebody about it, are you? You're not going to be ashamed to let somebody know that you're one of those few that has it. Well, do you realize God says that we're a chosen few? If we've got the Spirit of God, we've been born again, we're a chosen few. The biggest majority of the world don't know God. You know, you'll find one place in the Bible, it said out of 1,000 men, found one. Out of 1,000 women, didn't find any. You and I today. So basically what that boils down to, 1 in 2,000. Well, today, I'd say it's even less than that. It might only be 1 in 10,000. It's time for us to wake up and realize time is short, but the mercies of God is still extended. Forgiveness is still there. And what it took to be forgiven in Paul's day, it takes today. And that's total repentance and obedience unto God. Paul seen that there was nothing else would do. And, you know, when he was there, as I was telling you, this is 28 years before this. If you want to read about it, I think that's back in the 9th chapter of Acts, where it talks about when he was converted. But Paul, when he was there on that road and he fell, when he got up, he couldn't see it all. They led him into the city. A man that was so bold that he was going with intentions of imprisoning people just for believing in God. Paul was convinced Christ was real. Why? I saw the light, I heard the voice, and Christ identified himself as being the one you're persecuting. So Paul knew very well who it was that spoke to him. But what was he doing for these 3 days? According to God's witness, he was praying. That's what God said. He told Ananias, he said he's praying. Paul knew he had something to do. And what did Paul do? Soon as he got his sight, he went to doing all that he could for Christ, witnessing for him. No place do you find where Paul backed down or testifying anywhere. God told him where all he was going to send him, and every bit of it come true. That's why Paul knew he had a great job to do. When they would tell him, Paul, don't go. Don't go. Because this is going to happen to you. This is what's going to happen to you. Paul knew he had a charge and he had to go. He had to do what God had for him. And there was nothing going to stop him from fulfilling that. Not even the threat of death. So when it comes, you'll find there in 2 Timothy. And he was talking to Timothy. So Timothy, in other words, I finished all that God gave me to do. I've kept the faith to ever to do. Then I'm ready to die, because I know that's what's awaiting me. But Timothy, you be faithful. Do as I've done. Hold on to the same thing I've taught you. Preach the same thing I've preached. Don't back down. Why? Because that one that I see down the road, there at the basket, it won't be long, I'll see him again. And he's waiting for you to. You and I today, that same thing awaits us. We may never see Christ here with a heart, but he promised us they were coming to town. When he's going to speed, if we're in the ground, we're going to come forth and behold him with a heart. And we're standing here. When he speaks, we'll look up. And our eyes will see you and I today. That's something that's real that he promised. And the devil might say, oh, it's only a dream. Paul didn't say it was a dream. He said it was real. So much so that he told every one of them that was there. And I don't know how many people they was there. There was a crowd of people that was listening to them. And Paul said, I wish every one of you was just as I am, except for these bonds. He wanted them to know God as he knew him. He wanted them to experience what he had experienced. Isn't that something? Each and every one of us in our Christian life, when we come to know the Lord, the first thing that I wanted when I got right with the Lord was those that I was friends with in sin to know what I knew, to find what I found. And you know, I was so shocked when I found out the biggest majority of them wanted nothing to do with me or with God. You and I today, that don't change the fact God's still there for us. And if the rest of the world wants to turn their back upon God, for me and my house, I want to serve the Lord. And you and I today, Paul here in what he was speaking, he made it plain. If you go to Red Letter Testament, you'll find out all of what Christ was, that he was testifying that Christ said, it's in red because it was the words of Christ. You and I today, God has proven himself time and time and time and time again to man in the Word of God. But still today, he stands ready to prove himself, to hear and to answer our prayers. And what a difference it makes to call upon God. You know, it makes no difference where it's in the middle of the night, middle of the day, early in the morning, late in the evening, when it is. You'll never find God asleep. You'll never find a time that when you call upon Him, He's not there listening. Why? God said 1,000 years is just as one day. In time, our life is nothing. It's just a moment in the eyes of God. You and I, we can endure whatever the devil throws at us for a short time if we put our faith and trust in God. And, you know, the thing the devil's always throwed at me, and I know he does this to other people too, it's not you can't make it today. How are you going to be able to stand this or face this or endure this for a long period of time? You know, when the trials come, just about like what I used to be when I had those migraine headaches, I literally would have lost my mind totally if I had faced it year at a time. But I'd get up of a morning, well, out of my recliner, because that's where I spent days in life both. And I think, oh, I just can't stand this. Surely it'll be better when it gets dark and I can rest. Night time come and it was the same thing. And I think surely it'll be better when daylight come. I was facing it just an hour or so at a time. Because if I'd have took and thought, this is the way it's going to be next week, next month, next year, there's no way I could have lived. You and I, the devil will tell you, oh, you just can't face this. You just can't stand and be rejected by everybody. You just can't put up with that year after year. You don't have to worry about that. All you got to worry about is this day. You might not live to see tomorrow. Just live for the Lord today. When tomorrow comes, live that one for the Lord. And if you're blessed with another one, live that one for the Lord. Take it one day at a time. And whatever the devil throws at you, say, Lord, with your help, I can make it today. I thank God. Lord's word is true. He said, I won't let you be tempted above that you're able to bear. You and I, a lot of times, we think that we are, but it's because we give up before. You know, years ago, when we was working in North Carolina, I was on a construction job and we was taking a fire escape down off a building which the foreman should not even attempt it. Should have been taken off with a crane. It was one piece and it was a platform, steps, platform, and another steps. That's how high it was. And we had
scaffold built up, and we'd take it down like that and hand it down to other people on the ground. They'd take it, walk on out, and we were bringing it down section at a time, all in one piece because it's all welded together.
And this one big old guy, Linwood Towel, one of the men looked over at him and said, "Linwood, it don't look like you're lifting anything." And he said, "I'm lifting all that God will let me." And he got all of us tickled. We had to lay it down and rest a little bit because it just took all of our strength because he was saying that with such a strain in his voice. Well, you know, Linwood was not a Christian. And he said it probably joking. But you and I, when we've done all that we can in the things of God, that's all God asks. He will do the rest. He will literally do the rest. But too many times the devil says, "You can't." And because we haven't done all that we can. And God said, "When you've done all that you can, then just stand there and say, in other words, the work of the Lord. See the miracle of God. You'll find back in the Bible. God said his army held the faith in the enemy. And do it the way that God said." They went with a trumpet in one hand and a light in a pitcher in the other. The faith there was sword for battle. What they went was what God said. And when they come beside God's door to break the pitcher, that all their life could be seen. And then blow the trumpet. They done that to the enemy thought. When each one of them trumpets surely, they must have been a thousand men. And in fear they run, killing one another and their own selves. And everything that God said come to pass. You and I today, when we do what God asks, the victory is already ours. And when the devil says, "You might as well give up. Your prayer's not going to be answered. Pray one more." Because he'll always tell you that right before the answer comes. You'll find Daniel. He prayed. When the angel come, he said, "God heard you the first day." But, in other words, the devil withstood me for 21 days. But Daniel kept on praying. You and I, there's things I've prayed for a lot longer than 21 days. But there's things I prayed for just one time and I got it. You and I, faith will always be rewarded. If I pray for things here in this life that I never see answered, I've seen enough answered, like the song, to keep me praying on. But when my life is over, all those prayers that maybe I didn't feel like I got an answer to, I'll understand why. You and I, what difference does it make here in this life as long as we have what we need? And God promised, "I'll supply your need." Each and every one of us, if we'll live for it. Paul, I know the devil probably told Paul when he was in prison, when he was nursing wounds where he'd been beaten, when he was nursing wounds where he had been stoned and left for dead, don't you think that the devil told him, "Paul, you're losing. Why don't you give up?" They was even standing around Paul thinking he was dead beneath a pile of rocks till Paul began to move and come up. What did he do the next day? He was still doing the word of the Lord. Still going, traveling the next day. Can you think of what it must have been, what his body must have been feeling when he had been left for dead, those who had thrown the stones at him? They turned and walked off and thought they had killed him. But Paul got up. Do you think his body was sore the next day? Do you think he didn't have some bruising? No, he carried the mark. But God was still gone. And I believe when he got on his knees to pray, when he got up to pray, God poured an extra special blessing out upon him. Why? Because he prayed. And if we do that, we can be sure God will be there hearing and answering our prayers and to give us comfort in the hour that we need it. While we get some song to sing, if you're here and there's something in your life, don't be as Agrippa was, almost persuaded, but be fully persuaded. That was the difference in the king and in Paul. Paul was fully persuaded. He believed God. The king just was almost. Almost, but still lost. I don't know what song you're going to sing, but if you got almost persuaded, sing that one. If you can find it in there. Listen to these words. Almost, but lost. Each one of us. I've never heard a song. When I got right with the Lord and realized what this song was about, oh, how it tore my heart up to think that could have been me. Why? Because I'd been raised in a Christian home. I knew what it was. And I would have stood and fought against anybody that said there wasn't a God or that Christ wasn't real because I knew it. I just didn't know it in the salvation. I knew it enough to be willing to fight for it. But I didn't know it under salvation. I did not believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God that died for me. I just knew that He was the Son of God and that He died for people. I just hadn't included myself in there. Oh, and I did. And I began to see just what this song was about. What a difference it made. You and I today, each one of us, we need to know each and every day that we live, that we're living in the center of God's will, being obedient unto Him. While we sing, are you fully persuaded tonight to live for the Lord? Knocking upon our heart. And you know, like that song, Spirit, go thy way. Some other time, a more convenient day, I'll be your call. Oh, how sad the lies the devil tells us. You know, he told me, wait till another time. You've got plans. Wait till another time. The reason I went to church the Sunday morning I got right with the Lord, I bought me a Corvette. And I done had plans with my friends. The next week we were going to the races and I was going to race that car. And we was going to get drunk. We were going to have us a high old time. And I went to church to show it off to some boys that I used to run around with when I was in church. And Dad was preaching, and it seemed like he had preached for an hour. I don't know how long it was. And I got up and went outside. I thought, he'll hush in a little bit, and I'll just wait out here in the parking lot. And he was louder in the parking lot than he was in the church. And I don't know how long, but it seemed like he was preaching, and I thought, surely that old man is going to quit soon. And I went back in and I just got sat down and Dad said, I thank God. I don't have to thank God for the sins of my children. I just have to thank Him for the life that I live. That was more than I could take. I didn't wait for Him to give an altar call. I went to the altar right then. And I got right with the Lord. And before I left the building, it was just in plain. And then somebody was whispering in my ear, hurry, this was your last chance. You would have died next weekend. The devil was telling me, wait, wait. He can know your appointed time with them. And will still tell you, wait till tomorrow. Wait till next week. Get you to wait just beyond that time. Good intention of getting right with the Lord. But dying before that you ever get right. That's what the devil wants you to do. He don't want to tell nobody, oh, just wait. Come on and come to hell where I'm at. It'll be all right. Why? Because anybody of common sense don't want to go into a place of fire. And do you realize that where the devil is was not even created for you? It was created for him and his angels. But if you listen to him, that's where you'll end up to. You and I today, God's made a better way for us. And I'm thankful He did.